بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, so we were still discussing the topic of تدليس and مرسل خفي, and we mentioned that تدليس, in order for تدليس to happen, there has to be kind of لقاء, whereas مرسل الخفي happens with معاثرة and not لقاء. Some people, لقاء basically means that he has also narrated from the sheikh directly that he is purporting to narrate from now. مرسل الخفي is just there is, they were contemporaries, but there is no evidence that they met and there was transmission of knowledge. Some people are of the opinion that in order for tadlis to happen, mutlaq and mu'asara is sufficient, you don't need liqa. Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi is debunking this and is saying no, in tadlis you need liqa, and by liqa you mean riwayah. Mutlaq mu'asara, just being contemporaneous to each other, is not sufficient for that thing to be deemed as tadlis, that's mursal khafi. He's giving more examples on that, and he says, وَيَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ اِعْتِبَارُ اللُّقِيِّ فِي التَّدْلِيسِ دُونَ الْمُعَاصَرَ وَحْدَهَا لَا بُدَّ مِنْهُ إِطْبَاقُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْحَدِيثِ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ روايه المخضرميين كأبي عثمان النهدي وقيس بن أبي حازم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قبيل الإرسال لا من قبيل التدليس وقبيل. So he says the دليل that in تدليس you necessarily require the لقاء and not only mu'asara is that the ulama of hadith have declared that the narration of the mukhadramiyin, mukhadramiyin are people who had long lives, and they found the jahiliyyah, and they found the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and also after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, such as Abu Uthman al-Nahdi and Qais ibn Abi Hazim. Abu Uthman al-Nahdi and Qais ibn Abi Hazim are tabi'is. They are mukhadram in the sense that they were there in Jahiliyyah. Then they were there during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they never met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They couldn't come to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they're not seen as sahaba, they're seen as tabi'i. But they're mukhadram because they have lived through Jahiliyyah. So everyone is agreed upon the fact that the riwayat of the mukhadrameen from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min qabil al-irsal wa min qabil al-tadlis, that the riwayah of these mukhadrameen from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are types of mursal and not tadlis. So when Abu Uthman al-Nahdi, he says, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everybody knows that this is a mursal and it's not a tadlis. So that's the evidence that just because, so if mahav mu'asara, the mere fact of being contemporaneous to each other, was sufficient to establish tadlis, then the riwayat of Abu Uthman al-Nahdi directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been tadlis. Okay, but it's not tadlis, it's seen as mursal. Yeah. ولو كان مجرد المعاصرة يكتفى به في التدليس لكان هؤلاء مدلسين. And if mere being merely contemporary is sufficient for tadlis, then these people would also have been مدلسين. لأنهم عاصروا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قطعا. They definitely were contemporary from the Prophet ولكن لم يعرف. However, it is not known how هل لقوه أم لا, that did they meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not. No, there is no indication of that. وممن قال باشتراط اللقاء في التدليس, and those who said that اللقاء is necessary in تدليس is Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Bakr al-Bazzar, and also the discussion of Khatib al-Baghdadi in al-Kifaya also demands or requires necessitates that he also believes that liqa is a condition in at-tadlis. وهو المعتمد, and that is the relied upon opinion. Yeah, so there is kind of a mu'tamad opinion here that in tadlis there has to be liqa, whereas in musul khafi there is what we call mu'asara and not liqa. So now we go to the another second discussion as to how is one supposed to know whether liqa has happened or not. It says وَيُعْرَفُ عَدَمُ الْمُلَاقَاتِ بِإِخْبَارِهِ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بِذَلِكَ, that we know about them not meeting when the Rawi himself says that I have not met that so and so sheikh. That's how we know عدم اللقاء. أو بجزم إمام مطلع, or from the from the conviction or this the saying with certainty of an Imam who is very much aware of these things. So like a very stalwart Imam who basically says that no, these people never met. Okay, so these are the two ways. Either the person, the Rawi himself, declares that he's never met, or it's the it's an Imam who is saying that. ولا يكفي أن يقع في بعض الطرق زيادة راو بينهما. So now he's talking about a third issue, and that third issue is that somebody might look at, so it is not sufficient, let's translate it first, it is not sufficient that there is a addition of a rawi between them in you know, in one strand of the isnad. Okay, so for example, this isnad has a number of strands, and in one strand there is a addition of a rawi. Okay, so if we were to give an example of this, if we were to give an example of this, for example, we have we have Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Then we have Ma'mar, and then we have Zuhri Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. We have another strand which basically of that same hadith which has directly from Zuhri. Without Ma'mar. So somebody might see this this first strand here, and they might basically think that this Sufyan ibn Uyayna is doing tadlis from Zuhri, because when we look at another strand of this riwayah, we find that there's Ma'mar. You know, this same hadith is narrated by Ma'mar from Zuhri. Imam Ibn Hajar is basically saying that don't get ولا يكفي أن يقع في بعض الطرق زيادة راو بينهما, that it is not sufficient to declare something to be tadlis because there is a ziyada of a rawi in one of the turuqs. Does that make sense, Umar?
Yes.
Yeah. Why does he say that? He says, لِإِحْتِمَالِ أَن يَكُونَ مِنَ الْمَزِيدِ, because there is a possibility that the isnad that has the extra rawi, this is from what we call al-mazid fi muttasil al-sanad. Al-mazid fi muttasil al-sanad is basically a type of weakness, and one of the rawis, or one of the narrators before Sufyan ibn Uyayna, has made a mistake and have interpolated Ma'mar into this isnad, whereas actually it's Sufyan ibn Uyayna from Zuhri. And so they've interpolated Ma'mar into the isnad. This is called Mazid, al-Mazid fi muttasil al-sanad. Al-Mazid fi muttasil al-sanad. Al-Mazid fi muttasil al-sanad is a type of shadh, or it's a type of ilal in the isnad. So Imam Ibn Hajar is saying somebody might look at this isnad, these two isnads, and they might basically say, well, actually, Sufyan ibn Uyayna is doing tadlis from Zuhri, because we know that, because we know that he didn't hear this hadith from Zuhri directly, and therefore he's doing tadlis, because there's another isnad, which is that he has Ma'mar from Sufyan ibn Uyayna from Ma'mar from Zuhri. Imam Ibn Hajar says, no, that interjection of Ma'mar can be al-Mazid fi muttasil al-sanad, meaning that there is a rawi before Sufyan ibn Uyayna who might have interjected Ma'mar into the isnad as a waham, as a mistake, but the isnad actually is Sufyan ibn Uyayna from Zuhri. And so he basically says that just don't take the issue of Mazid, or just because in some strands of the isnad that there is an extra rawi, don't take that as a dalil of tadlis. So now it basically means that just by looking at, so let me put my, so now it basically, from this you can understand that how difficult this isnad analysis is, because on the face of it, all we need to do is go into a book by Imam Ibn Hajar like Taqrib al-Tahrib, and then look at whether Sufyan ibn Uyayna did he read from Zuhri or not, and we say, ah, he did. But actually, real kind of isnad analysis requires that we, rather than taking this generic approach, we investigate every single hadith on its own merit, every single isnad on its own merit. Because yes, Sufyan ibn Uyayna sometimes directly narrates from Zuhri, sometimes he narrates from Zuhri through Ma'mar. But also, it might be that one of the rawis have, in this particular instance, has made a mistake and have interjected Ma'mar into the picture, whereas Ma'mar wasn't into the picture. How do we kind of ascertain that? That is somebody who has worked with hadith for a lifetime and worked on isnad analysis for a lifetime. They know, they get a feeling for it. They get a malika for it that, well, no, this is wrong. Although, the data tells us that Sufyan narrates from Zuhri, or Sufyan narrates from Ma'mar to Zuhri. The data tells us both of them is a possibility. But what is the haqiqa in this particular isnad? That you need people who have investigated hadith a lifetime to be able to tell us with certainty, well, this is actually waham, or this is tadlis, or this is shaz, or something else. So this is when it becomes quite difficult. And this is where a lot of people, they kind of fall into troubles, because all they're doing is they're looking at adalat al-rawi, dabt al-rawi, and ittisal al-sanad. Those are the three, the easiest, because you can go into التقريب والتهذيب وتقريب التقريب بأي إمام ابن حجر العسقلاني وتهذيب الكمال and just look up عدالة الراوي ضبط الراوي and look at who the teachers were who the students were and then basically say ha the sanad is muttasil but actually the other two which is عدم الشذوذ and عدم العلة they are difficult right because عدم الشذوذ and عدم العلة علة and شذوذ happened in seemingly hadiths which are sahih. You know, these are hidden defects. So seemingly on the face of it, the hadith looks sahih, but actually they've got hidden problems. And just by looking at taqrib al-taqrib or tahzib al-kamal or, you know, any of these books, Siyar al-Alamin Nubala, you won't be able to detect that. You need to be kind of engaging with hadith science for a very long time to actually get a flavor of that. Does that make sense? So that's what he's saying. وَلَا يُحْكَمُ فِي هَذِي السُّورَةِ بِحُكْمٍ كُلِّيٍّ So in this surah, we don't actually, in this situation, we don't give a firm hukum, أي جازمٍ لِتَعَارُضِ إِحْتِمَالِ الْإِتِّصَالِ وَالْإِنْقِطَاعِ because there is a contradiction as to whether this is muttasil or this is munqati', right? So this is when, and a lot of people don't understand this, with ulum al hadith, primarily people just look at, as I mentioned, you know, adalat al rawi, dabt al rawi, ittisal al sanad. But the ilal and the shaz, they're very, very, very difficult. Very difficult to kind of ascertain. Okay. وقد صنف فيه الخطيب كتاب التفصيل لمبهب المراسيل وكتاب المزيد في متصل سند. So Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi has written a book on knowing Marasil, for example, التفصيل لمبهم المراسيل and also a book called المزيد في متصل الأسانيد. So this is, those are the books that you will go to check whether this is مزيد في متصل الإسناد or this is Shaz or whether this is tadlis happening, those are that's the book that you will go to. So here Imam Ibn Hajar says that he has finished the discussion on the we were looking at the saqt, the omission or ta'an fi riwayah, criticism of the riwaya, and we've identified that criticism of the riwaya happens because of five reasons. And those five reasons are exactly the five reasons that we find in the Sahih, the definition of Sahih, which is that عدالت الراوي ضبط الراوي اتصال السند عدم الشذوذ and عدم العلة. What we have done hitherto was we were discussing the problem with اتصال السند. And in the problem with اتصال السند, we looked at Hadith Mu'allaq, we looked at Hadith or Isnad Mu'allaq, we looked at Isnad Mu'adal, we looked at Isnad Mursal, we looked at Isnad Munqati', then we looked at Tadlis, and then we looked at Mursalul Khafi. Those all relate to this point that when there is a break in the Isnad, then the hadith becomes Mardud. If there is no break in the Isnad, Ittisalul Sanad, then the hadith is Maqbul. Now he's basically saying وانتهت هنا أقسام حكم الساقط من الإسناد. So we've finished the إسناد, the ساقط in the إسناد, the omission in the إسناد. Now we go to the others. What are the others? The others are the other four criteria: عدالة الراوي, ضبط الراوي. Yes. عدم الشذوذ and عدم العلة. Those four are left, and if and there can be problems in any of those four. So this is what he is going to talk about here. Although on the face of it looks like that he is going to only talk about Adalat al-Rawi, problems with Adalat al-Rawi and Dabt al-Rawi, actually he is also going to be talking about ilal, and he's also going to be talking about shuzuz. So every criticism comes in here. So summa ta'anu yakunu bi asharati ashya. Then criticism happens with or happens for 10 reasons. بعضها أشد في القدح من بعض. Some of them are more severe than others. خمسة منها تتعلق بالعدالة وخمسة تتعلق بالضبط. Five of them relate to the عدالة الراوي and five of them relate to the ضبط الراوي. Although he's saying they related to عدالة الراوي and ضبط الراوي, but also the شذوذ and the علل also come in here as well. So it's not only عدالة الراوي and ضبط الراوي, but also شذوذ and علل are also incorporated as you can see. Yeah. ولم يحصل الاعتناء بتمييز أحد القسمين من الآخر. And he says, the consideration or has not been taken here, or we haven't separated, we haven't gone through the trouble. ولم يحسن الاعتناء. Trouble has not been taken in differentiating between one from the other. So what he's saying is that I did not go through the trouble of first mentioning these are the five problems with Adalat al-Rawi and these are the five problems with Dabt al-Rawi. He says this problem was not, we didn't look at the problem from this point of view, that we separated the 10, five for Adalat al-Rawi one after sequentially. He says لِمَصْلَحَةٍ اِقْتَضَتْ ذَلِكَ, because of a maslaha which demands that we don't separate the Adalat al-Rawi, the problem with the Adalat al-Rawi and the problem with the Dabt al-Rawi. What is this maslaha? He says وَهِيَ تَرْتِيبُهَا عَلَى الْأَشَدْ فَالْأَشَدْ فِي مُوجِبِ الرَّدِّ عَلَى سَبِيلِ التَّدَلِّي. So he says that is that because of this categorization of the worst and then the worst in rejecting the fi mawjib ar-radd in a situation where we are rejecting something sequentially. So he's saying that what we've done is we've put amalgamated all of them together, and the reason why we've done this is because sometimes a problem in adalat ar-rawi is more severe than a problem in Dabt al-Rawi. But sometimes a problem in Dabt al-Rawi is more severe in Adalat al-Rawi. Therefore, we put all of them together and we started with the one which is at the top, which is the worst one, and we worked our way downwards, depreciating in from the severest to the less severe of Rad ala sabil al-Tadalli sequentially. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So that's why he's done that. He said we didn't separate them because some types of criticism in the adala is worse than some types of criticism in the dhab, but sometimes some types of criticism in the dhab is worse than some types of criticism in the adala. So it's best to kind of put them, amalgamate them together, and then sequentially from the worst to the least worst, we go down sequentially. That's what he says. He says, لأن الطعنة, because criticism is either. So he's going to give us 10 things here, right? So he says, لكذب الراوي or لكذب الراوي, both of them are fine to read. في الحديث النبوي, because criticism is either. My notes. So, okay, criticism is either because the narrator has lied about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bi an yarwiya anhu sallallahu alaihi wasallam ma lam yaqulhu mutaammidan lidhalika, in the sense that this rawi narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not said, and he does this intentionally. So he's intentionally lying on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or criticism is based on a accusation of lying. Yeah. So the person is not declared a liar; he's just accused of being a liar. So two different things. One is that he's declared a liar, and the other one is that there is a doubt whether he's a liar or not, whether he's been accused of lying. بأن لا يروى ذلك الحديث إلا من جهته ويكون مخالفا للقواعد المعلومة وكذا من عرف بالكذب في كلامه وإن لم يظهر منه وقوع ذلك في الحديث النبوي وهذا دون الأول. So examples of this. How is he accused of lying? That la yurwa dhalika al hadith illa min jihati, that he is the only one that has narrated this hadith. No one else. This hadith is not narrated other than from him. No one else has narrated this hadith. Point number one. Wa yakunu mukhalifan lil qawaid al ma'aluma. And it is it is against known qa'ida in the sharia. Against known qa'ida in the sharia. So look, no one else other than this person has narrated this hadith. And so there is no corroboration. This person is the only person who's narrated this hadith. And the hadith that he's narrating it goes against the spirit of Islam, goes against a qa'ida. That's point number one. I'm looking at example. Look at some examples later. وَكَذَا مَنْ عُرِفَ بِالْكِذْبِ فِي كَلَامِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَظْهَرْ مِنْهُ وُقُوعَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ النَّبَوِي. So that's point number one. Point number two is also the person who is a known liar in his everyday speech, even though it's not been established that he has lied about the hadith. Right? So the tuhma is comes through two reasons. The accusation comes through two avenues. Either this person is the only one that has narrated this hadith, and no one has narrated this hadith. However, the hadith that he's narrating goes against a qa'ida of the sharia, goes against the teaching of the sharia. So we will basically people will accuse that person of lying. Because first of all, the hadith goes against a qaida of the sharia, and secondly, no one else, there's nobody corroborating from this information. So nobody will say that he's a liar, but there is a probability that this person is lying. So that's the tuhma. Or the second one is that this person is known to lie in his everyday speech. However, it's not established whether he has lied in the hadith or not. That person, still there is an accusation of lying. So a tuhma fil kithbi is of a lower degree than the one whose lying has been established. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We can have a look at some examples. Let's see. So we have here Muttaham bil Kidh from Mizan al I'tidal, Ahmed ibn Abbas ibn Hamawi Abu Bakr al Khalal Muttahamun, Rawa Abu Bakr ibn Shazan anhu, an al-Za'afrani, an Abi Muawiya, an al-A'mash, an Abi Salih, an Abi Hurayra radiallahu ta'ala marfu'an, qala mal'unun man sabba abahu, fadhakara hadithan tawilan, qala al-Khatib, ما في الإسناد من يحمل عليه سواه. Khatib al-Baghdadi says that no one else other than him narrates this hadith. There is no corroboration, and also the hadith itself goes against qawaid kulliya. Another person is كتاب الموضوعات حديث سنفان لا تنالهما شفاعة المرجئة والقدرية. And Ma'mun ibn Ahmad is a kadhab. Bilwadi, yeah, okay. So that's a kadhab. And the other one is Muttaham bil Kidh. So this hadith that Ahmad ibn Abbas al Hamawi Abu Bakr al Khalal has narrated, no one else has narrated other than him. And it's a long hadith, and certain parts of it goes against the qawa'id of the Sharia. So two things that he's given for Muttaham bil Kidh. Then we have أو فحش غلطه أي كثرته. The one who makes many mistakes or obscene mistakes. That's the third criticism, is فحش غلط. أو غفلته عن الإتقان, or negligence in accuracy. أو فسقه, or someone is a sinner. أي بالفعل والقول مما لم يبلغ الكفر, either through speech or deeds, as long as they are not kufri. وبينه وبين الأول عموم. Between this and the first type, which is kizb, there is a kind of a general specific relationship. Because every single fasiq, every single kathib is also a fasiq, right? Every liar
Correct.
is a fasiq. So it's basically saying that there is umum khusus mutlaq here, that every kathib is a fasiq, but not every fasiq is a liar. Yeah, is not a pathological liar. So the question then arises, then why did they single out kizb for number one? Why couldn't it just be subsumed on the fisq? He says, وَإِنَّمَا أُفِدَ الْأَوَّلِ لِكَوْنِ الْقَدْحِ بِهِ أَشَدَّ فِي هَذَا الْفَنِّ وَأَمَّا الْفِسْقِ بِالْمُعْتَقِدِ فَسَيَأْتِي بَيَانِهِ. So he says, the number one, which is kizb, has been singled out because criticisms, al-qadhu bihi, to criticize, to critique one, to critique one that has been declared as a liar is more severe in this discipline, right? وَأَمَّا الْفِسْقُ بِالْمُعْتَقَدِ, and as far as fisq related to aqidah, فَسَيَأْتِي بَيَانَهُ, that will come. So what is he basically saying? He's basically saying that in this discipline of ulum al-hadith, a liar, somebody who's being critiqued as a liar is more severe, right, than someone who's just a sinner, right? And then that's why he narrated, he basically said, وَأَمَّا الْفِسْقُ بِالْمُعْتَقَدِ, as for those people whose fisq, whose sin is because of their aqidah, we'll talk about it later. So look at this, right? In aqidah, who is a more worse person from an aqidah point of view? A person who is known as a person who's from the Ahlul Bid'ah, or a person who's a liar, right? So unanimously, the ulama will say that the person who's from the Ahlul Bid'ah is worse, because the Ahlul Bid'ah knowingly is not following the correct aqidah, whereas the fasiq might have correct aqidah, but he's just committing a sin. By the kadhib might have correct aqidah, but he might just be sinning by lying about something, but his aqidah is intact. So from an aqidah point of view, the Ahlul Bid'ah is worse as far as sin is concerned, from just a normal fasiq or a liar. However, in Ulumul Hadith, because Ulumul Hadith relates to accurate transmission and reception of information, it's all about accuracy. It's all about truthfulness. So lying then becomes the cardinal sin. A person might be Ahlul Bid'ah and his aqidah might be wrong, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's a liar. But because the nature of Ulum al-Hadith is such that it's all about accuracy, it's all about truthfulness in passing on information, then the sin of lying here is worse than the sin of committing any other kind of sins. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if someone is a like, let's say someone was a murderer, and he killed somebody, but they're known to have never told a lie. So they did one sin, but they didn't do the other. So in terms of ilm al-hadith, this would be better than someone who is a liar, but is a known liar about everything, but is not a murderer.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't still mean that this guy's off. It just means in the grand scheme of things, if you were to basically put a hierarchy, then at least for ulumul hadith, which is related to accuracy, which is related to truthfulness, which is related to transmission, receiving and transmitting information truthfully, accurately, the kazzab is worse than the murderer. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the key objective here is we're trying to figure out accurately exactly what the action is.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Aw wahmihi, or somebody's waham. Waham can be mistake or somebody's. So khata is a mistake, but waham is basically like a confusion, like severe mistake or confusion. Bi ay yarwiya ala sabil al-tawahum, that he is narrating under this kind of misunderstanding. So the reason why it's more severe than khata, just a mistake, is because in waham the person is working on the premise that he is in the right, and then
got
what,
it.
But actually, Oh,
Sheikh,
number
I
seven.
see that the first five were related to adala, right? And the next five are related to double. Is the order of these five? Or no, they're not related. Okay, sorry.
No. So if you want to do this, kizbir rawi or kazibir rawi,
oh, that's
adala,
good point.
Adala,
yeah.
Adapt. So you tell me, adala or dabt?
It would be actually kind of both, right? But more dabt, right?
No,
Well,
more,
no. Kidbur rawi, because you're intentionally lying. I mean, that's adala, right?
Yeah, because a liar, a pathological liar, can still have the best memory in the world.
Good point.
He can still have the best memory in the world. So this is not a critique of his. Is a critique of his adala, his character. Tuhma bithalika adala adabt.
Adala.
Fahsh ghalat adala adabt.
That's doubled, right?
Yeah. Ghafla fil itqan adala adabt.
That's doubled. Okay.
Yeah. Fisq adala adabt.
Adala.
Adala. Waham, adala or dabt?
Dabt.
Dabt. Yeah. Aw mukhalifatihi ay lithiqat. Okay. So, the rawi is contradicting more stronger rawis. Right? Mukhalifa. Adala or dabt?
That would be dabt.
Yeah, that would be dabt. So, remember I mentioned. So waham is a type of ilal. So ilal comes in here, right? Mukhalafa is either a type of ilal or mukhalafa can be shaz as well. Yeah, because remember shaz. What is shaz? Shaz is a thiqarawi narrating against the riwayat, contradicting the riwayat of awthiqarawi or arjah ruwat. Yeah. So that's shaz. What is so shaz and muhkam, and then opposite to that is ma'aruf and munkar. Munkar is when a weak narrator does mukhalafa of a thiqa narrator. This is called munkar. Opposite to that is ma'aruf. So here, those kind of ilal and shuzuz, they come inside this number seven. Number six and number seven. So it's not only adala and dabt, is ilal and shuzuz are also coming in as well. Aw jahalatihi jahala, okay, his ignorance. Bi an la yu'raf fihi ta'dilun wala tajrihun mu'ayyanun, that this person is an ignominious person, that he does not really know the difference between jarh and ta'dil. Yeah, is that dabt or adala?
Dabt.
Yeah, dabt.
Yeah.
Aw بدعته أو بدعته وهي اعتقاد ما أحدث على خلاف المعروف عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا بمعاندة بل بنوع شبهة. So this is the belief of that something ما أحدث على خلاف المعروف, that something is the belief which is contradicting what is known from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not out of mu'anida, yeah, not out of mu'anida, not out of hostility, بل بنوع شبهة, but because of a type of confusion. Every single bid'ati or every single people, see, bid'ah is a relative concept, right? We will call the Shias bid'ah or ahlul bid'ah, but the Shias will call us ahlul bid'ah. You see,
right.
It depends who is calling who ahlul bid'ah. And bid'ah, a bid'ati person does not do bid'ah because this guy wants to challenge the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way, la bi mu'anadat, not because of any kind of hatred, but because this person genuinely believes that this is the correct teaching from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is a confusion, there is a shubha there. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because, so would that be more dhabt than the bid'ah, or would it be adala?
It's adala. Bid'ah is adala.
Because it's but they're saying here, where he's saying no, la bi mu'anada, is he? I don't know. I guess is it? Well, I guess no, it
so,
is.
So yeah. This is a discussion that he's having, which is not really actually related to ulum al hadith. He's just basically saying a bid'ati does bid'ah not out of any kind of extreme opposition to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or to the others, but because they genuinely, so he's in a way he's justifying and vindicating them, that they're not some kind of extremist. They basically do it because they genuinely believe that this is the correct thing to believe. Yeah,
right.
You know, Imam al-Shatibi defines bid'ah as هي طريقة البدعة هي طريقة مخترعة. البدعة هي طريقة مخترعة في شريعة الله تعالى تضاهي به طريقة مخترعة تضاهي بها شريعة الإسلامية. That it is a constructed path which directly wants to challenge the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the idea that in bid'ah there is a challenge. But nevertheless, Imam Ibn Hajar is saying the people who ahlul bid'ah, they do it not, and I think one of the reasons why he's mentioning this is because there is a lot of hadith scholars who have got kind of tendencies of other types of tashayyu' or irja or others. They have, so I think he's trying to kind of lessen the blow here. In the grand scheme of things, although he's mentioning all of these things, unless somebody is an outright, you know, bid'ati or outright kadhab, other than all of that, primarily it is the dhabt that the ulama look at. So if a person is kadhab or tuhma or outright stalwart, kind of like inadi shi'a or something, then the problems with the adala is tolerated as long as the dhabt is more secure, right? We see that although this is theoretically he's mentioning this, but we actually see that unless they are a kadhab and tuhma bil kidb and bid'ati with a pen, penchant to destroy the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then normally the adala is tolerated as long as the bid'ah, as long as the dhabt is good. أو سوء حفظه, or he just has bad memory. وهي عبارة عن لا يكون غلطه أقل من إصابته. And what is سوء حفظ? سوء حفظ is that وهي عبارة ألا يكون غلطه أقل من إصابته, that his mistakes are not less than his non-mistakes, his corrections. Yeah, so that basically means somebody's got bad memory. سوء حفظ, his mistakes are more than his because if his mistake, if his corrections are more than his mistakes, then we won't classify as سوء حفظ because everybody makes mistakes. والعصمة لله ولرسوله. Does that make sense?
It does. It confuses me why سوء الحفظ is the 10th one on his list of rankings, because you could see theoretically, I mean, even nowadays, when someone has, for example, testimony and there's a court and there's, you know, you're trying to report something, the memory issues is a key thing that is often probed, because, you know, if the memory is off, even you could be the best person and the most honest person, but you could make big mistakes in the reporting.
Okay, so I mean, you have to understand that these 10, right, are also, I mean, I get what you're saying. These 10 are from the Mardud. He's not basically saying that these are maqbul at all. He's saying these are from the Mardud.
Okay.
That's the first point, right? That's the first point. But the second point is that even if somebody's memory is weak, right, their testimony can be salvaged if another person gives witness, right? And
right,
that person might base, or if there are other circumstantial evidence to prove that what this person is saying, despite the fact that this person's got a weak memory, there is circumstantial evidence that what this person is saying is correct. So
right,
the reason why it's number 10 is because if we are able to bring any circumstantial evidence, then we will tolerate that weakness, right? Because there are other corroborating evidence. Whereas if there is somebody who is a kadhab or muttaham bil kidh, then even you bring every single evidence in the world, we still won't accept that riwayat.
Right, right. That
do,
makes
do you
sense.
Get it?
Yes.
Okay. So now he's given a summary of these 10, which is كذب الراوي, تهمة الراوي, فحش غلط, غفلة, فسق, وهم, مخالفة, جهالة, بدعة, and سوء حفظ. He's given us 10 of these. And now what he's doing is he is going to go into a long-winded, drawn-out discussions of these 10 points. Okay, and this is it's a very important discussion. So let's start. فالقسم الأول, right? So you always need to go back to this. Well, what do, he will refer back to. So what is قسم الأول? كذب الراوي or كذب الراوي. القسم الأول وهو الطعن بكذب الراوي في الحديث النبوي هو الموضوع. كذب الراوي, the first one. What is it called? It's called موضوع. So a person who is a kadhab, who's been declared a liar, if he narrates a hadith, then that hadith is known as hadith mawdu'. Does that make sense? It's a fabricated hadith.
Yes.
وَالْحُكْمُ عَلَيْهِ بِالْوَضْعِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ بِطَرِيقِ الظَّنِّ الْغَالِبِ لَا بِالْقَطْعِ. So he's just basically saying something that to call it a fabricated hadith is to do with kind of the probabilities, zannul ghalib. We can't say 100% certain because even the devil is not void of the truth, right? But it's a kind of a zannul ghalib probability. Is qad yastukul kadhub, right? Because even the liar can be speaking the truth. Lakin لأهل الحديث لأهل العلم بالحديث ملكة قوية يميزون بها ذلك. But the أهل الحديث have got a ملكة, a capacity, a capability where they're able to kind of distinguish and differentiate between these two. وإنما يقوم بذلك منهم من يكون اطلاعه تاما وذهنه ثاقبا وفهمه قويا ومعرفته بالقرائن الدالة على ذلك متمكنة. And only the stalwart ulama are able to kind of really know if the kadhab is lying or not, right? And therefore, we kind of give a blanket that if this person has been declared to be a kadhab, then his hadith is mawdu', right? يَقُومُ بِذَكْرِ مَا يَكُونُ إِطْلَاهُ. Only those ulama whose knowledge of the entire field is complete, who have a broad overview of the entire, complete overview of the entire field, وَذَهْنُهُ ثَاقِبْ, and those whose faculty of thinking is sharp, ثَاقِبْ, شِهَابَ ثَاقِبْ, striking, so sharp, وَفَهْمُهُ قَوِيًّا, and have strong, good understanding, and they have a very strong grasp of understanding, you know, subtle evidences and subtle nuances. بالقرائن الدالة على ذلك متمكنة. How do we know? So after he's mentioned that, he basically says, well, how can we detect وضع موضوع? He said, وقد يعرف الوضع بإقرار واضعه. We know wada because of the fabricator confessing. Qala ibn Daqiq. Sometimes fabricators they kind of fabricate. For example, Abu Ismah Nuh ibn Abi Maryam was a zahid. He was a zahid, and he was also a Hanafi as well. So, but he says that he's also fabricated a number of hadith, and he basically says, when I saw that people were too much into Hanafi fiqh and they stopped reading the Quran, I fabricated a hadith on the fada'il of the Quran. So this is him, you know, confessing that he fabricated that. Qala Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, Imam Ibn Daqiq al-Eid says, لكن لا يقطع بذلك يحتمال أن يكون كذب في ذلك الإقرار. However, we should not take his words for granted, because there is a possibility that he is also in his confession, he's lying, right? Which then leads to a kind of perpetuality. وَفَهِمَ مِنْهُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَنَّهُ لَا يُعْمَلْ بِذَلِكَ الْإِقْرَارِ أَصْلًا وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ مُرَادُهُ. Some people have interpreted Ibn Daqiq al-Eid saying that we should not accept the confession at all, but this is not what Ibn Daqiq al-Eid meant. وَإِنَّمَا نَفْيُ الْقَطْعِ بِذَلِكَ وَإِنَّمَا نَفْيُ الْقَطْعِ بِذَلِكَ وَلَا يَلْزُمُ مِنْ نَفْيِ الْقَطْعِ نَفْيُ الْحُكْمِ. He's basically saying that by taking away the certainty, all he's doing is وَإِنَّمَا he is taking away the certainty of believing in the confession. That doesn't mean that by taking away the certainty of believing in the confession, we take away the hukum itself. No. So because some people are saying that, oh, if we can't believe his confession, then we should accept his hadith. Yeah? Because his confession is a lie, right? Imam Ibn Hajar is saying, no, this is not what he meant. He just basically says that we can't just say 400% sure, because you might be lying. But that doesn't mean that the you know, we still put the same hukum in the hadith. لأن الحكم يقع بالظن الغالب, because the hukum in everything happens with ظن الغالب. We cannot give certainty in anything. There is no certainty, right? The 99% of ulum al-shari'iyya works on ظن الغالب, and that's because we can't get certainty in most things in our life. وَهُوَ هُنَا كَذَلِكَ, and this is also like this. وَلَوْلَا ذَلِكَ لَمَا سَاغَ قَتْلُ الْمُقِرِّ بِالْقَتْلِ. If that was the case, then it would not have been permissible to execute the person who confesses to a killing. وَلَا رَجْمَ الْمُعْتَرِفِ بِالزِّنَا, and the person who confesses, so the person who confesses to murder and the person and also stoning the person who confesses to zina, لِإِحْتَمَالِ أَن يَكُونَ كَاذِبَيْنِ فِي مَا اعْتَرَفَ بِهِ, because there is a possibility that there might be lies in what they are conceding to. Does that make sense? When a person confesses in court, that I am the murderer, then the laws of Qisas are applied. When a person confesses, obviously there has to be circumstantial evidence. Sometimes somebody might do this, like, for example, a son has murdered and the father is taking the blame, so that the son doesn't get penalized. Those kind of things, those kind of altruistic, sacrifices do happen. So obviously we don't take it for face value, but rather there is an investigation, and after the investigation, the qisas happens. But if we cannot take the confession of a liar because there is a possibility that the person is lying in that confession, then we cannot apply any of the laws of the Sharia. Yeah, that's what he's saying. But this discussion is outside of the discussion of Bayli Ulum al-Hadith. ومن القرائن التي يدرك بها الوضع ما يؤخذ من حال الراوي. And sometimes the indicators through which one knows about if a hadith is fabricated or not is by looking at what we can extrapolate from the situation of the rawi. كما وقع للمأمون ابن أحمد. So it happened, this is a famous story, happened to Ma'mun ibn Ahmad, أنه ذكر بحضرته الخلاف في كون الحسن سمع من أبي هريرة أو لا فساق في الحديث إسنادا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سمع الحسن من أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه. Just by looking at the situation, so this person Ma'mun ibn Ahmad brought a hadith where in the Isnad he says سمع الحسن قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع الحسن البصري من أبي هريرة. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right.
Right. وكما وقع لغياث, and you get this hadith about Ash'aris and Maturidis as well. These are fabricated. وكما وقع لغياث ابن إبراهيم حيث دخل على المهدي. This is a famous story. غياث ابن إبراهيم, he visited Mahdi, the Abbasid Caliph. فوجده يلعب بالحمام. And he found him playing with doves. فساق في الحديث إسناد إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا سبق إلا في نصل أو خف أو حافر أو جناح. فزاد في الحديث. So there is no racing in or there is no competition in nasl, which is throwing spears, or khufrin or hafin, racing, or janahin, or racing birds, or racing doves. فَزَادَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ أَوْ جَنَاحٍ فَعَرَفَ الْمَهْدِيُّ أَنَّهُ كَذَبَ لِأَجَلِهِ فَأَمَرَ بِذَبْحِ الْحَمَامِ. But Mahdi realized that this person lied, غِيَاثَ بِنْ مَهِمْ lied just to make him happy. So he ordered the all the doves to be slaughtered. Because these are the reason why this person lied on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he gave gold to the person and told him to get lost, right? Some ulama, they critique al-Mahdi, and they basically say, well, Mahdi shouldn't have done that. He should have chastised that person rather than killing all the doves, because that then kind of makes that person, Ghiyath ibn Ibrahim, a bit more bold to do it again, right? ومنها ما يؤخذ من حال المروى أو مروي, that from one of the signs is that you look at the riwayat itself, كأن يكون مناقضا للنص القرآني أو السنة المتواترة أو الإجماع القطعي أو صريح العقل حيث لا يقبل شيء من ذلك التأويل. That you look at this and you see that it is going against the nas of the Quran or a sunnah mutawatira or a qat'i ijma or even plain logic, reason. And there is no other ta'wil that you can do here. Now, obviously, this point is very, very subjective, right? Because what this point is saying is that in order to see whether a hadith is true or is it false, we look at the matan, right? And we look at the nature of the matan. Although theoretically everyone accepts this, Jonathan Brown In one of his articles, he writes that there is no evidence of the Muhaddithun declaring a hadith weak or fabricated or weak primarily on the basis of matan analysis and without isnad analysis. So although theoretically they accept it, but in practice it's very difficult to find. Whereas in the modern period, you will get people rejecting hadiths left, right, center because of the text matter itself. ثم المروي تارة يخترع الواضع. So sometimes the riwayat, the hadith, sometimes it is concocted by the واضع, the fabricator. For example, man akala al-bathinjan dakhala al-jannah. A green grocer said, whoever eats, you know, aubergines will go to Jannah. Wa taratan ya'khudhu kalama ghayrihi ka ba'd as-salaf as-salih aw qudama al-hukama aw al-isra'iliyat. Or sometimes what you do is you take the words, sometimes it's taken from somebody else's words, such as the pious predecessors or the ancient philosophers or from the biblical tradition, and then you they add qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam aw ya'khudhu hadithan da'if al-isnad fayurakkab lahu isnadan sahihan liyaruja. Or sometimes what happens is that a hadith with da'if isnad is taken and then is stripped of that da'if isnad, and then a kind of sahih isnad is you know, put onto it, prefix to it, so that this hadith becomes quite famous. So here, although the hadith has, the text has not been concocted and fabricated, but the isnad has been fabricated. Yeah. And then he talks about walhamilu lil wad, what are the motivators of wada, of fabrication. He says imma adamu ad-din kana zanadiqa, either lack of religion, for example, like this in Deek, أو غلبة الجهل كبعض المتعبدين, or because of extreme, you know, overpowering of ignorance, like some, you know, worshippers who make up hadith because they want people to worship more, أو فرط العصبية كبعض المقلدين, or extreme loyalty, such as like some of the muqallidun have made a hadith about Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, and saying that the best of the people is Abu Hanifa and the worst of the people of Jahannam is Shafi'i. You know, there is a fabricated hadith. Aw ittiba'u hawa ba'd ar-ru'asa, or to follow the whims of some leaders like Ghiyas ibn Ibrahim did with al-Mahdi. Aw al-ighrab liqasd al-ishtihar, or to also you know, woo people also in order to become famous. Yeah, also to become famous. وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ حَرَامٌ بِإِجْمَاعِ مَنْ يُعْتَدُّ بِهِ. And all of this is haram according to the ijma' of the people that we consider. إِلَّا أَنَّ بَعْدَ الْكَرَّامِيَّةِ وَبَعْدَ الْمُتَصَوِّفَةِ نُقِلَ عَنْهُمْ إِبَاحَةُ الْوَضْعِ فِي التَّرْغِيبِ وَالتَّرْهِيبِ. Some Sufis and some Karamiya Shias have said that it is permissible to fabricate in targhib and tarhib, in, you know, making people do good things. وَهُوَ خَطَأٌ مِّن فَاعِلِهِ نَشَأَ عَنْ جَهْلٍ. And this is a mistake from these people which is born out of an ignorance. لِأَنَّ التَّرْغِيبِ والترهيب من جملة الأحكام الشرعية. Because ترغيب and ترهيب, telling people to good and stopping them from doing bad, is also a part of the Sharia. واتفقوا على أن تعمد الكذب على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الكبائر. And the ulama have all agreed that to purposely lie on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is from one of the major sins. وبالغ أبو محمد الجويني فكفر من تعمد الكذب على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Imam Abu Muhammad al-Juwayni, Abu al-Ma'al, he basically said he emphasize this to such a level that he did takfir of anybody who lied on the Prophet purposely. وَاتَّفَقُوا عَلَى تَحْرِيمِ الْرِوَايَةِ الْمَوْضُوءِ إِلَّا مَقْرُونًا بِبَيَانِهِ. And the ulama have all agreed that it is haram to narrate a hadith mawdu except with the caveat مَقْرُونًا بِبَيَانِهِ, that it is mentioned that this is a fabricated hadith to teach people, to warn people, but they have to say this is a fabricated hadith. لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ حَدَّثَ عَنِّي بِحَدِيثٍ يُرَى أَنَّهُ كَذِبٌ فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَذِبَيْنِ. أَخْرَجَهُ صَحِيحُ مُسْلِمٍ. Okay, inshallah, we will stop here. And we will, so there won't be a class next week because I am traveling to Turkey for a conference, so I won't be here. Okay, so we will meet in two weeks' time. Jazakumullah khair.
Inshallah. Wa iyyakum. Thank you, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.